Tell me what you had for breakfast. I'm going to do a little test.
I had, you know, my standard breakfast that my husband makes for me. I had an omelet. Oh, and he's, you know, we're going out of town, so he was taking the castings from the sourdough starter, and he makes that into little sesame pancakes.
How did you meet him? Because I need help. I'm doing something. Well, I eat at Taco Bell, so that probably.
She said, what?
How could they do something like that?
Are you serious?
What a thirsty MF-er.
Not good. She's absolutely dead to me.
That's because she died.
I'm Sterling Mulberry.
And I'm Blair Payton. And welcome to
Bad Behavior,
a morally questionable podcast.
We're two unqualified friends.
Two unhinged comedians.
Determine once and for all what is good.
And what is bad.
Hello, everyone. And thank you so much for subscribing, downloading, following Bad Behavior. We are so happy to have you on the show this week. I am Blair Payton, as you heard in the opening credits. And beside me is, of course, Sterling Mulberry. And we're just ready to have a rockin' show for you guys.
Thank you so much, Blair. What an official intro. Okay, hello. How are you?
I am just fantabulous.
Really?
I'm all right.
Yeah,
I don't want to oversell it. I'm doing all right. It's a little warm in the studio.
It's really hot in here.
My pits are sweaty. My deodorant is not working. I'm a little hungry.
You're a little hungry. What did you do last night? Okay, well, can I tell you what I did?
Yeah, you go first.
I went to dinner with my friend last night, and we went to this gorgeous Mexican restaurant. So I've been doing this thing with my friends where I ask them if if they feel like love is in the air for me. Like, I kind of like to be
I like that it's not so much about, like, you're opening the questions and it's not like, you know what, I'm seeing love. You're just like, what do you see for me?
Well, not even see for me, but I'm like, kind of, I'm like, do you think true love is on its way? Mm-hmm. And then she responded with this. She said, I think love is on its way. And I said, just the regular? And she was like, oh, I don't know about true.
Wow.
I know.
What a kick in the groin.
And I want to say this.
Okay.
In case the universe is listening, I'm not interested in just the regular.
How would you define true love?
Well, I've always said this. I think true love is going to be like, this is what I would love to happen. But okay, so as a kid, I kind of believe true love is like, you know, okay, you know in The Parent Trap when Lindsay Lohan meets herself as the twin? Like, they meet each other for the first time. And
so
then they have electric currents going between their hands. And they're both like, you know, when they meet each other?
Yeah.
I always, for the longest time, thought that's what it would be. Like, one time as a kid, like, I had so many celebrity crushes. And I would meet them and I would, like, wait. I would go to shake their hands. This only happened with two celebrity crushes ever. But I would, like, shook their hands each time and there was no electrical shock. And we weren't screaming, you know, going like, ah, you know. And so then I was like so devastated because I was like, okay, it's not true love. Like, there was no like physical like electricity going up my spine.
Was one of the celebrities, what's his face from We Are the Millers?
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, follow Sterling on TikTok. She has a story, a crazy story.
Yeah.
About how you basically stalked, what's his name?
Will Poulter. Yeah. I really worry if I talk about it often, I'm like, I'm going to get like a
cease and desist?
A cease and, or, no. Or like, stay away from me.
No, but I will say, look at sterling.km.
Blair's my publicist.
Yes, I am. Because the story is so insane. And it's been seen by like
over a million people.
Over a million people. So I want to hear his side. Like, what? Because like,
is likely his side. Ready for this? This is my impression of my celebrity crush's encounter with me. I don't remember. I guess he would say it in a British accent, but
the fact that he's British blows my mind.
In what way, like good or bad?
I just picture him from We Are the Millers. He's the son, if you're not familiar. Yeah. And I just picture him as that, just kind of, I mean, he's not. He looks great now, but I'm just like, whenever I hear him speak British, I'm like, that's incorrect. That doesn't match.
I mean, it's truly so devastating to actually go viral, semi-viral maybe.
Yeah.
And about a celebrity crush and they don't reach out at all. I'm like, what else do I have to do?
But again,
I look like a psychopath, so I guess that is ultimately my fault.
I mean, I think that's to your detriment, but I want to hear his side of it.
Yeah.
Only because, like, to
to be in his shoes. Like, I want, that would make me feel great to have someone who went above and beyond. And I'm telling you, Sterling went above and beyond.
Yeah, I did.
To have that parent trap spark with him.
I mean, I think, yes, I would love that for someone, but I don't want it obviously in any type of creepy way, right?
Well, no.
No, but like, yes, I think someone that like sees you and is like, that's it, like that's my person, and like will like go to the ends of the world to meet you. But again, I think probably someone that would think that is ultimately a psychopath. I want to let everyone know we are not interested in dating psychopaths. We are only interested in true love. Actually, I've never asked you this. What is your love language?
That is a wonderful question. So I think mine is definitely acts of service or gift giving, but also that physical touch. Like if I'm into you, I want to be
rubbed down.
I want to rub our bodies together, just creating friction. I don't care where we're at. I want to make a mess by the end of it.
Oh, God. That's a perfect segue because I think our guest might be here.
Speaking of a mess, welcome our guest.
Our guest, truly iconic, one of my absolute favorite comedians of all time. You know her as the amazing host of the podcast that was Ask Me Another.
R.I.P.
And her current podcast, which we absolutely love. We're not parents at all, but we're like, give us some knowledge.
Yeah, or give us a kid. Let's get this ball
give
rolling.
Give us a kid. Check out her new podcast, Parenting is a Joke. Please welcome Ophira Eisenberg.
Hi, welcome. Thank you so much for doing the show.
Pleasure.
So right off the bat, just want to ask you, how do you approach bad behavior?
I'm big on resentment for years. That's good. But also, I think I do have a I think I have a slow processing situation happening. My CPU is slow. But so yeah, I feel like it's shocking. Usually when I witness bad behavior, I find it shocking. Mm. And I don't exactly know what to do in the
like
moment.
Of any, from like small to big, any magnitude?
I mean big.
Okay.
Know? But there is just like, you know, I guess bad behavior I would put out, let's just say in New York, you okay. experience so many people being impolite, let's say, for the, that come, or very rude. And sometimes I want to step in.
Yeah.
But actually as a woman, I think that has been taken from me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because then I fear for my life.
Yes.
However, just recently, and I was like, that woman is hilarious. There was tourism is back in New York.
I was back.
On the subway and this nice family, you know, I'm just going to stereotype them because they were all smiley and stuff. They're probably from the Midwest. And they said to this woman beside me, are you from around here? Like, do you know New York? And she just went, what's your question? And I was like, I love that you did that. Because now you gave them a story. Yeah. You know, there is some, but that is bad behavior. A guy didn't want to take me home in his cab the other night. It was 1 a.m. and it was cold and dark. And it's hard in New York right now because Ubers have taken over. And then Ubers are very, very expensive. And so cabs are more in demand, but there's less of them.
Yeah.
So they get picky. And so the guy said, where are you going? And I said, it's illegal to ask that question.
Who knew? I didn't know.
Wait, it's illegal?
Well, because it's illegal for me to, it's like technically no cab, it's illegal for a cab to not take you where you want to go.
Okay.
So if I was standing outside the cab, he rolled down his window and said, where are you going? And I said, it's illegal for you to ask me. And he goes, well, I'm not going to Brooklyn. And I said, that's illegal. And then he just drove away. And I was like just shaking.
That actually happened to me. I didn't know it was illegal. He was like, where are you going? And I was like, Upper East Side. And he just drove off. And I was like, I feel like I should be in the car with you, sir.
So, right. So my husband who grew up here, when I told him that, he was like, your mistake was you have to just get in the cab. Because he goes, technically, they you know, he shouldn't have asked you that. But once you're in the cab.
Yeah.
It's against. And then he was like, and then you could have called it in. And I'm like,
So there's a process.
There's a process.
So how long have you lived in New York?
Almost 20 years.
So you're officially a New Yorker.
Totally.
How does that feel? Let it set in. Marinate in that.
Oh, yeah. I think at that point, you're just like, how do I get out of here?
Yeah.
I mean, do you think you would ever leave New York?
Yeah.
Really?
Sure.
Where? What would be, I guess, a destination?
That's the problem.
Calgary?
No.
Going back home?
Definitely not. Although, you know, I mean, I think now that everybody is living in a different place. Uh-huh. Like, you know, someone asked me recently, like, oh, are there a lot of, if you were to do a show in Austin, do you know a bunch of other comics there? I was like, 50% of comics from New York and LA, I think, moved to Austin.
Really?
Yeah. A friend of mine who I did improv with, don't be intimidated. He does comedy on the side, and he was just like, I'm done with New York. I'm going to Austin.
Yeah.
And he loves it.
So many, and I feel like none of them have looked back.
He bought a cowboy hat. I have since unfollowed him.
So He's gone.
I had to set a boundary.
And it's not like I'm talking, when I say Austin, obviously a cool city. It's not like we're talking about, like, can you believe all these people moved to, like, Cheyenne or something like that, you know, like somewhere smaller and not with a thriving art scene.
Yeah.
So Austin is, like, a totally reasonable choice. But you do think when you live in New York, like, are you really... It is that thing where you go to, I don't know, I'm just thinking like Durham, North Carolina, totally great place. Mm-hmm. But then, you know,
my friend Christy lives there.
Yeah, it's an amazing place and it's very affordable.
When I first moved to New York 6 years ago, she was like, I really hope you don't succeed there and you could come live with me. And I was like,
thank you. Yeah.
So there's still hope. There's still hope.
Yeah. I just find anytime I travel within America, there is that moment where we finish a show and it's 9 and we're like, so where do you want to go eat? And someone's like, well, I guess you can go by the 7-Eleven. You're like, oh, no.
Yeah.
Because you just forget that place is closed.
Yeah.
The life of mini malls. I don't live in a world of mini malls. I grew up in a world of mini malls. That's where things were located.
Same. My whole town was just chain restaurants. And like, even to this day, I get so much shame for this and it hurts. I love Olive Garden. I'll say it.
Yeah.
Proudly. I love Olive Garden.
I've never been. I guess I should go.
I've never been either.
Yeah.
Do you just guys want to take a break and go to Times Square and just get some?
Oh, yeah. Let's do to the Times Square.
Yeah.
Let's
go to the flagship.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you like salt?
Love salt.
You'll love Olive Garden. It is amazing. Actually, my niece, she was here over the summer for law school, and she also has an affinity for Olive Garden. That's why she's my favorite. And so on her last day of her internship, she convinced everyone in the firm to go to Times Square Olive Garden.
And?
They
had a blast.
They were like, what is this place?
You know what I can tell you? If I think about it, the Times Square is Olive Garden. And I know this about the Bubba Gump Shrimp, which is also very centrally located. Those properties, in terms of real estate, are some of the finest properties in Times Square. In your view of a tourist of Times Square is better than any five-star restaurant that is around there because I've looked into it. I'm like, New Year's, we should go to Bubba Gum Shrimp because the windows they have on Times Square are unlike anything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, if you want to witness that.
I need to spend more time there.
Yeah.
You really do. Actually, for my birthday last year, we went to, because I was at home for my birthday, and we went to Olive Garden. My sister was the only one who wasn't happy.
When someone says something like, and my sister was the one that was the only one that wasn't happy, I'm like, is that your entire life with her? And then there was my sister who was not happy.
I mean, that could be a separate problem. Yeah. We don't have to get into that. Speaking of podcast, you have a new one.
I have a new podcast.
Yeah, so obviously you're a parent, but how did you kind of land on like that subject being?
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't as narcissistic as you may, although you know, do what you know, etc. Yeah. But I love storytelling. I love stand up. I do both these worlds, and then I was you know, in the audio world for so long. But what happened was, you know, I became a parent at a later age. Mm. I spent most of my life just talking on and off stage about how I would never be a parent and I hate kids and all the That was the truth. That's how I felt. And then for a lot of different things changed very quickly. And I decided to try it, but it didn't look good because I was older and women just get all the, you know, it's probably not going to happen for you. And maybe there's intervention. But, you know, quite spontaneously and surprising, I did get pregnant. So then I was scared because obviously stand up and traveling and doing a night job is terrible with small children. You know, school does not start at 6, and if you go to a comedy show at 2, it's bad.
Yeah.
That is not a good show. But then I looked around, and it was wild how many other stand-ups I knew who already had a career that were all of a sudden becoming parents. And I mean, I would almost say an explosion. All of a sudden, I was like, you just had a kid. You just had a, you're having, and I mean, in different ways, some were having kids because it was two people and right. someone got pregnant. Some were just, there was blended families. Yeah. There was people doing fertility treatments. There was adoption. There was surrogacy. There was everything. But all of a sudden, I was like, everyone has had a kid. And I thought, the material coming out of this is going to be totally different.
Yeah.
How old is your child now?
He just turned 7.
Just turned 7. So you're 7 years into the new gig.
How you feeling? How are you feeling?
Is it?
Oh my God, it's a nightmare. No, it's great.
So on our podcast, we like to play a game called Heaven or Hell. And this is a game on a scale of 1 being hell, 10 being heaven, where you kind of rank these behaviors.
Okay.
And because as we talked about, you're unofficially a New Yorker. I mean, I think, what's officially, 10 years is official?
I think right now it's a year and a half.
Really?
No.
Oh, well.
I think it's pretty light. I don't remember, right? There's been a lot of talk about
yeah.
this. Let's say 10 years.
Yeah, 10 years. Yeah.
So we have some New York City kind of faux pas behaviors to ask
okay.
about to your opinion.
Ooh, I love
okay.
this.
Blair, do you want to kick us off?
I would love to. Thank you, Sterling.
Of course.
Our first one. Ordering a cinnamon raisin bagel with pumpkin cream cheese.
Disgusting. Get out.
Wow.
That's kind of, that's
so
more like
intense.
A one on your scale.
One? What are you doing? How dare you?
Fun
you...
fact, Sterling actually did that. Judge.
I have.
Yeah, so you don't like bagels and you don't like cream cheese, okay?
No, I mean, my usual bagel now is definitely like an everything bagel scallion cream cheese. That's like my go-to.
Fine.
When I first moved to this city, look, I was working in corporate America. You got to take a bagel break just to like have a little sparkle in your eye still. And I would go to this place called Essa Bagel that's on the Midtown East. Mm-hmm. And I was like, pumpkin cream cheese, interesting. Got to try the stuff. So I would do cinnamon raisin bagel. So yeah, that, I've ordered that.
I used to say to, I worked in corporate jobs for a while too, and I used to say I'm going to go get a bagel and then like do like 5 auditions and then come back like 4 hours later with like no bagel.
Yeah, and they're like, you're like the bagel in so long, yeah. so long.
Full disclosure, one time I called out of a work meeting because I had an audition, which I didn't get. And I told, I was like, yeah, the pipe burst in my bathroom. And then they're like, oh, that's okay. We'll just do, you can do the meeting from home. And I was like, oh, fuck me. So I was like, oh, my camera's not working. I'll have to call. So meanwhile, I was, no joke, I was running to the audition, muting my phone. And then when I had to talk, I had to stop and be like, yeah, no, that's a really good
point.
Yeah.
The things, the lies.
All right, number two. Okay, a friend not warning you that they live in a 6-floor apartment walk up.
You know, that's a 5. I lived in a, that's, yeah, that's just.
Standard.
Yeah, that's just earth.
Yeah.
It's not heaven or hell.
You don't think like a friend needs to give you a warning that
No. Okay. I used to live in a 5th floor walk up.
Yeah.
And I feel like, so I knew that, and I used to warn people because, yeah, it was so unexpected. And I feel like when they would show up, they would look at the stairs and just be mad.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I would warn people because I was so free. I felt bad. I just felt bad about everything.
Yeah.
So, and I remember I would get stupid questions. They'd be like, do you have to do this every day? And I'd be like, no, sometimes I stay in a hotel.
Yeah.
You know, I live here. Yes, I do it every day.
I was that stupid person because you lived
on. I lived in a 5th floor walk up for my entire time here.
Yeah.
So 6 years. And I mean, one, it gives you a great butt. I was always like, I'm going to lose my butt as soon as I leave this place.
It happened to me.
And, but then what I realized kind of leaving, I was like, huh, now I like arrive home in a pleasant mood. Each time I arrive home, I'm like, I don't know why, like, I just am huffing.
Yes.
And then now I'm like, I just kind of drop my stuff and I just am fine.
You just walk
like,
in.
I mean, I still liked it because I feel like it gave me so much like, this is my day-to-day life. Like, people would come and be like, how do you do this? I'm like, I don't even have laundry in my building. I walk down the street, back up my stairs,
oh,
like, you
same.
Know. And so it, like, made me really tough. But then I'm like, it's kind of nice being in a good mood when you come home.
So I lived in 3 apartments in a row for a few years each one, but they each, yeah. 5th floor walk-ups.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I will never afford the 4th floor.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
One day. And I remember pulling up my luggage, coming home from some gig that I did extremely mediocre at, and I was like lugging my luggage up that last floor.
Yeah.
And I just had a moment where I was like, my life will never be better than this. Like, it real those 5 flights would
yeah.
take you down.
Oh, mm-hmm. They would take me down. And yeah. I mean, I only in my last apartment when I moved out did I hire movers. I fully would move out.
Oh, I did the
yeah.
same thing.
I mean, it was brutal, but like, I also, for my fifth letter, I always think nice, like I would rather have like no neighbors above me. You have like a gorgeous view, not, you know,
yeah,
that you kind of have some benefits.
You do.
But obviously the day to day. And if you ever leave something, you're like, I'm not going back. Like the amount of times umbrellas, I'm like, I'm wet. Like I'm not going
up down. I know.
All right. Our next one. Neighbor taking,
I did this one for you, Blair.
Thank you, because this happened to me.
Yeah, oh my, that reaction was incredible.
Neighbor taking laundry out of dryer before it's done.
Like in your building.
Unacceptable. That's a hell.
That's a hell.
Don't touch my stuff.
They just put it on, and they were still in the room. And like, I don't like confrontation, but I did kind of a,
I mean, how long was it sitting there? That is a question, because then sometimes I come down and there's like all four dryers. Yeah.
Like a second.
Okay, so like she's fine.
Hours.
Blair was entering and she was scooping it out.
Oh, yeah. No. Unacceptable.
But I was like, what if it had been my undergarments? I mean, it was pillowcases, but still.
Oh, I've had people do it to my undergarments.
I didn't like it.
Yeah, I don't like it too when you go down. I mean, I think the worst one is when you go, I say go down because I'm just talking about my building where it's in the basement. And it's been scooped out, but just, you don't know who did it. It's just left there.
Well, to get even.
Yeah. Ooh.
Well, I really wanted to get even, like turn off the dryer, like unplug it. But I was like, that's kind of karma. But even though they did scoop out my stuff. So I opened it. I took one sock out and put it on the ground and shut the door.
You're amazing. I put in a piece of moldy bread. No, I'm kidding.
All right. Okay. Number four.
I love that you guys thought that was
We were like, wow, genius.
Such a badass like, New Yorker.
I'm using that next time. All right. Okay. See, this one's controversial, but I have a weird opinion on it. Okay, across the street neighbor, always leaving their always leaving their curtains open, whether they're changing, whether they're doing anything around the house. And I'm talking like pretty close window.
Yeah, I'm cool with that. I'm going to give that a 7.
Okay.
Yeah, I like looking at people's lives.
Yeah.
Especially if it's like a hot guy.
I agree.
Slower,
that was
sir.
That's my favorite thing. I was like, I love just being able to like peek into little lives. Not in like a weird way, but just like, I don't know. It was kind of nice. On a block, you'd be like, oh, they came home.
And I think they are there. Right. And I think they were like, hey, are you watching?
Yeah.
I am. Yeah, I am.
Thumbs right up. We like.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a sign.
I was hoping you would notice too. Yeah.
Okay. See, this one's very prevalent considering what you did today. Seeing tourists trying to feed raccoons in Central Park.
Are there raccoons?
Yeah.
Are there? I don't think
That's well, I would always see tourists trying to feed raccoons and I would always be like, no, not the, like they'd be doing like kind of what they do sometimes with squirrels.
Raccoons though.
Like raccoons. Yeah. And they'd be like out during the day.
I mean, the tourist is still alive?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess they probably threw it at the end at the raccoon because I feel like those are
the raccoons were like, they were like literally animals. Getting like to their mouths.
Disgusting. No, snacks. No. 1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1-1. I mean, that's like feeding rats.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, not good. Okay.
I mean, pigeons too. Like I know, and people, I don't see that in New York so much, but I remember a long, long time ago going to Venice and people stand in the middle of St. Mark's and they have the pigeons like land all over them and they take photos. I'm like, that is the most disgusting thing.
I don't love that. Friend making you wait all day in line to see Shakespeare in the Park.
Like when they were still doing the line back in the day.
No. Don't care. Yeah. And then it's like, listen, then again, like, and then you end up seeing like Liev Schreiber and Macbeth and you're like, well, okay. But I feel like when that happens, you know, it's some, I don't know, Merry Wives of Windsor or like whatever it's not a top 10. Yeah. It's not a top 10 Shakespeare. Yeah.
So we're going to take a quick break.
Great.
But coming up, we are so excited to hear your story and judge you. That's all we've been waiting on.
I live to be judged.
All right, Ophira, we've asked you here, and I think you know why.
Yes, I do.
Do you have potentially a story that you need some insight? We're obviously experts. We've never done a bad thing in our lives.
We watch Oprah.
We've watched
Soul
Oprah.
Sessions, baby. Yeah.
So whenever you're ready, if you want to launch into your story.
Okay, so I think this is okay. I don't know. So
as she's avoiding eye contact.
I think this is okay.
Okay. So I moved to America from Canada. Mm-hmm. And if you are an American listener, you maybe know this, maybe don't know it. It's not easy. to move from any other country
to
another country.
Yeah.
And if you are a Canadian moving into America, yes, it's easy to get here, but you're not welcome to stay forever, nor do you have the ability to work. And so it was hard going. It was hard going, and I was illegal for a while. I was just plainly illegal here for a while because I couldn't figure it out. And I'm not from a trust fund family or whatever, so I really had no money. And then I figured out through a lawyer and this and that or whatever how to get – I got a work visa. I got a very limited work visa. But I was working a job, and that job helped me get a work visa. It was the year after 9/11. New York was a bit of a place of shambles. And – immigration and Homeland Security and all of that was not functioning great. I don't even know if it's functioning better now. Whatever it was very weird. And so I couldn't get all the papers together, but I needed money, and the job I had would not pay me in cash. They were giving me checks and I couldn't deposit them because I didn't have a bank account. And you can't get a bank account unless you have like proof that you are living and working here. I didn't have any of that. Just a little insight. I needed a phone. I needed a phone. And you need to get a phone, you need a social security number.
Whoa.
Really?
Yes, you do.
Okay, this may be a dumb question, but here it comes. Uh-oh. Do you not have a social security number in Canada?
Yeah, it's just different.
It's just different. Okay.
Yeah, it's called a social. It's called a social insurance number, and it's totally a different thing.
Okay.
Yeah. No, we're like, just think of like we're not even close in the world. Think of like Canada is floating an island.
Emotionally, I feel like we are.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah. So, but I did find like you can go to places in New York where they're just like, "Do you have some money?" They'll give you a phone.
Like, we don't ask any questions.
There are ways around this.
Yeah.
But the bank was insurmountable.
Okay.
So I was like, I need a bank account. I got to figure this out. So I walked into a banking franchise, a well-known banking franchise in Lower Manhattan. And I looked around at someone working there that looked nice. I will say, like, I was like, who looks like they just want to also have a nice, easy day. Where there's a lot of yes ands. Who's taken an improv class?
Oh, we have.
So, and I found that person, and I basically said to them, I just lied. Because I was like, I need a new bank account. They're like, great. And I was like, but I don't have all my papers together. I'm from Canada, and I'm an NYU student. And none of my stuff has come through yet because there's a problem with the register. So I don't have my ID yet, but I'm in dorms and I don't have any money. So I'm working a job. Like, I laid out this whole scenario.
I like it.
I have to pay my way through college. So I have a job and they've already paid me a check and I can't get the money and I need a bank account. And she was like, so do you have a social security number and all this? And at that point, I did have a piece of paper that had a social. Let me tell you something. The stuff, I think it's a little bit different now, but the stuff, you know, 15 years ago that you would get these official documents, they were like literally Xerox copies. Like, they were so unofficial looking. We're like, are you kidding? My visa was a piece of paper that was stapled into my passport. And they were, and that was like,
that's it.
You're like, what are you, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
Stapled. Okay. So, but I didn't have an ID, and she just looked at it all, but I had my Canadian passport and I had a Canadian bank card, like just to show her, like, I've had a bank account before. I don't know. And she said, we can do this for you. But will you come back with all of your stuff when you get it? Do you know the timeline? I was like, 2 weeks, just making more shit up. And then she said, and good news, as an NYU student, you get a fee-free account. And I was like,
and that's why I chose the school.
And she was like, what are you studying? And I was like, anthropology. And she was like, how's that going? And I was like, really good. And then she said, what is your address? Because they were going to send me stuff. And I said,
oh God,
one university. New York, New York.
Bold.
And that was fine. Somehow that was just fine.
Okay.
And I got a bank account And I never went back to that bank, but I didn't have to because I had an ATM card. Yeah. So I just did everything through my ATM card, deposited checks, took out money, had fee free. And then a year later when they were like, hey, a year later, the only reason the bank got back in touch with me because you have to, this fee free thing, they are very freaked out at that they even gave that to you at all.
Mm, right.
So they want to know a year later.
Yeah.
And so I just walked in and closed my account.
Mm. Oh, I thought you were going to walk in with like an NYU sweater. I'm still schooling.
Exactly. Columbia. Yeah. I even like take it up a notch. So I lied and I cheated for my own benefit and I took advantage of someone at a bank.
Okay.
For my own so my brother-in-law is a very ethical person.
Mm-hmm.
And he lives by it. He lives by his morals and ethics.
Okay.
And he I told him a little bit of this at one point and he was horrified. He was like, you know, that stuff's in place for certain people and you take advantage of it. And like, and then the way that you wrapped yourself around their security measures, like that's, they're going to make more security measures to like stop. Like you are really gaming the system in the wrong way for you. And that was a bad thing to do.
Okay. Well, I have a little question for your brother-in-law.
Sure.
How would he have deposited those checks?
I know. I guess you can sign the back of it and then give it to someone else who, but you know, like you don't want to
oh,
do
really?
That. Yeah.
Good to know.
I'm like learning, maybe I'm not from America.
I mean,
I'm
nobody does a check anymore, so you don't even have to deal with it.
Well, I got sent a check from like my insurance. I got a reimbursement and I was like,
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, now you just take a picture on your phone.
Yeah. Get the mobile app. Yeah.
I love technology.
Yeah, okay. Technology is really... So technology would have also completely prevented me from being able to do this.
Yeah.
So it was also too new. I was taking advantage of a pocket in time.
It's so hard because it's like, to be pro-bank, it's just like, of course, I say, please take advantage. I'm like...
I know.
And also, I think this is my other issue with your brother-in-law. They didn't catch you. So it's not like they had to then put things in place after you to be like, we got to make sure, you know, like it sounds like they even never even knew.
It was the most innocent version of stealing, I guess.
And also, it was your own money, ultimately.
It was my own money.
So I think it was technically stolen.
It was just like you didn't have to pay a bank fee.
Which shouldn't exist anyway. Should we, like bank fees? Come on, that's garbage.
No. That's just like, storing your money.
Like also, it's like that's the same thing as like paying for luggage on a flight. Garbage.
Yeah, garbage.
Made up, based on nothing. Wi-Fi should be free, okay? Based on nothing.
I do have a question though, because as someone who, I love the idea of lying. And I do, like little fibs that are like harmless.
Okay.
But like big stuff like that really affects my colon. How were you during that whole year knowing that
were
you
scared people were going to come after
you? Oh, yeah. I mean, I feel like I had lied so many times at that point.
You were like, catch me if you can.
Yeah.
I mean, it was not. I mean, there was so many times that I had to lie trying to figure out how to live here. I mean, even to what it's like trying to get into comedy. I remember they were like, you have to have 5 friends in order to perform. Like when you're starting out trying to get your footing here.
Yeah.
And I couldn't find 5 friends. And I got to the club and they're like, you're not going to go on until your 5 friends show up. Oh. And then I waited for the person to leave and I saw where they were marking people. And I just marked people beside my name.
This is amazing. Wild.
Wow.
And then I went up on stage and how did I do? Not great.
Well, you didn't have the 5 friends just laughing.
But it's like all this gatekeep. Like it was so impossible.
Yeah.
I couldn't play by the rules.
How long did it take you before you officially became official?
That paperwork for that thing, for that first work visa, probably took about 3 months.
Okay.
And then I had some status, but it was temporary. Mm-hmm. And then after that, I had to go figure out a different way.
Yeah.
And then after that, I had to figure out a different way. And then after that, I got married.
Yeah.
You should have just gotten married quicker.
I know,
that would have really expedited.
There was a few people that I was like, you want to get married? And they were like, ha, ha, ha. And I was like, no, really. And they were like, whoa. I thought we were just like having sex. I was like, oh, I'm just saying.
No, I'm in love with you. I mean, I...
But lying was
It's dope. It got you where you needed to be, but I always get nervous and I'm always like, someone's going to catch me. I'm riddled with anxiety.
But it's just who you lie to. Yeah. So I think in some way, as I tell this, I'm not trying to be, I'm no hero, but you go like,
it feels like a hero.
Bank. Yeah. So you go lying to a bank, like the idea of it feels great.
Yeah.
Right? A bank.
Yeah.
Good.
Got him.
Right? But then you just, what's on the same level as that? I think that's what my brother-in-law was trying to say. He's like, so what if you were lying to the government? What if you're lying to a judge? Like, where do you see these? Like, am I lying to a business? Like, if you lied to a store, that's like, just let's say a old brick and mortar independent business. If you go in there and you're like, I don't have my receipt, but I bought this yesterday.
Yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, I think it really depends. You know, if you're going to like Dwayne Reed, I say take it all. I say take it all. They're doing fine. Obviously, a mom and pop shop, different.
Yeah.
But do you feel like, okay, kind of after this experience, do you feel like gaming the system just a little bit, like, helped you have this, like, a bit of unbridled confidence? It's like, I can do anything. Because I feel like to succeed in comedy, you kind of have to be a little, like, one, I mean, like, extremely determined and also
so
a little
delusional.
Like, you have to be like, I think it's gonna work out. And so is there like any chance of that?
How you feeling now?
That like circumstance then was like, I could like was a boost of confidence that helped you then like take that with you into comedy, and maybe it's the only reason you're successful today.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that whole story. You're spin doctor. Like, you have made it into the hero's journey.
Yeah, we did the hero's journey.
I mean, there is something about just when you have to make it happen, what you do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know what to do. And I really felt like I had no safety net. There was no call to home to be made.
Yeah.
I would just have to leave.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I didn't have anyone, like, the rent had to be paid.
Yeah.
And it was just a check, but it just seemed insurmountable.
Yeah.
So I actually, looking back, I cannot believe that woman gave me a bank account. I mean, one university? I wasn't even trying at that point.
I had given up. On her, as ultimately.
Is it okay to lie? Does it matter who you lie to? I guess is the thing, right?
Yeah. Blair, what are you feeling?
Well, as just a boy who was raised in faith.
Right. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah, Preacher, you know.
Oh, that's true.
If you're lying about this, what's next? You know, like, could this get even bigger? Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, I really enjoyed your spin on it.
That was so good.
And I think, to my own journey, had I started lying better.
You know, I really think that maybe, like, we messed up.
I feel like we'd be in a much better place right now.
I know.
So
this is really teaching us some hard lessons.
It is true that I think people's need for the truth is quite low.
Yeah.
Like,
I agree.
Well, I think we're pretty much in agreement.
All right.
Wait a second. As someone from faith, you think it's okay?
Well, you know, let's be honest. The church is a little wonky. And, like, you know, I had to pretend to be into girls for quite a bit of time just to, like, go through the door. I feel like we can say it together.
All right.
Good behavior.
Oh, yeah. It's because it was a bank, right?
It's the bank.
Yeah. So is the takeaway for all of your listeners, like, if you can lie to a bank.
Yeah. Maybe.
It's fine.
Do yourself a favor.
Start by going to an improv class. Get comfortable with these scenarios, because you can really work out your lies.
Yeah.
So we do have a prize.
We have a prize.
So I see this vase. There's been a vase here the whole time with little strips of paper. Yeah. I've been eyeing the vase.
Fun fact. This used to be an edible arrangement.
Yeah.
Oh, I remember once someone sent that to me and I couldn't get... There was something really sad about watching pineapple rot on a skewer.
Yeah. That is a tough gift to be receiving. Our gift's not like that at all.
It's better.
So we believe one of the best gifts someone can be given in life is a gorgeous compliment from your therapist. And so we have written compliments that we would love to have been said to us by our yes. therapist that we will be giving to you kind of as a therapist that you can yes. then take on in life.
Oh, God, I love this.
All right, Blair, do you want to read a loud one?
Okay, here we go.
I'm so excited, truly.
Oh, I don't mind going over time. I love chatting with you. How does that feel? Let it wash over you.
Okay, I'll tell you right now how exactly that feels. First of all, that is a lie. And B, I am someone, I go to therapy, but I don't love therapy. Mm. So I am always like, when is this over? If they were like, well, let's go over time, I'd be like, no, let's go under time.
Let's go under.
I'm paying for this. Let's make it 20 minutes.
Yeah. That's incredible. Well, thank you so much for coming
yes,
on.
Yes, this was a pleasure.
Where can everyone find you?
Oh, you can find me on the socials at Ophira E. You can see my live dates at OphiraEisenberg.com. And most importantly, you can find me at Ophira on Venmo.
Perfect.
Love it.
I only want to socialize through Venmo.
Yeah.
Fair enough. No, Is there a minimum requirement you would like people to send you?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. It's a $5.
Okay, $5. At least $5. Don't send her anything under $5.
That's right. I still want a fee-free account. This is my new fee-free account.
And also your podcast.
Yes, please check out my podcast. Even if you're not a parent, it's a good hang with a bunch of great comics and celebrities talking about their careers. It's called Parenting is a Joke. Get it, as they say. My favorite line. Wherever you get podcasts.
And when do episodes come out?
New episodes come out every Tuesday.
Love it. Perfect. Well, check it out. Well, thank you so much
again.
Thank
you. Pleasure. Thank you, Blair. Thank you, Sterling.
And that's our show. Thanks so much for listening today.
We absolutely hate to do this. We hate it.
But it would mean the world to us if you can subscribe to the podcast wherever you get podcasts, rate and review.
Follow us at Bad Behavior NYC on Instagram and TikTok. Thanks again for listening.
And remember, whatever your moral status, we are always here to judge.
Bye.
Do you think that was good?